Moncrief on News Talk.
There is also a huge amount of thermostat war texts coming in about when you should turn on and not turn on the heating. We can't do that because the greatest slot in Irish radio. Oh no, wait, that's Movies and Booze. That's tomorrow. The second greatest slot in Irish radio.
I worry,
right.
Well,
let's go.
So you think you're an adult.
Second greatest.
With Barbara Scully.
I will not be defined.
Yes, I have never taken second best to anybody. I don't care who they are.
And Declan Buckley are here. Guys, how are you?
Well, good, we were better before
I was joking. We were doing small talk earlier.
Barbara,
tell a joke at the start.
Yeah.
Combine the two. Yeah. I think Sean
that
did that.
That would be great.
Wasn't there an adult and a Movies and Booze?
We did a live one. Yeah. And it works very well.
So, okay.
We could have booze in here, though. You know, you don't need an audience.
With the production.
Yeah, I think we're probably getting booze right now.
So, you know. Just before we get to the topics at hand, where do you stand on when's the right time to put on the heat in the house?
Oh, that's a really interesting one. I think I would be with most women, especially unless you're in the menopause. When I was in menopause then, no, I didn't turn on any heat. I don't think at all. But now I'm back to, we've already turned the heat on. I put it back on the clock. We were hitting it for the hour and the 2 hours just to take the edge off.
Okay. But when did you start taking the edge off?
I started taking the edge off maybe a week ago.
Okay.
And then it went back on the clock yesterday.
Okay. Wow.
But we haven't turned all the radiators on. And I haven't yet lit a fire. So there's only radiators on in two rooms, like one radiator in each room. So it's just a gentle
miserly business. Enough then.
It's nothing to do with miserly, but I just don't want the place to be overheated. Okay. So I'm going to light a fire very soon.
Okay, lovely. And Declan?
Yeah, I haven't turned on I regretted it this morning. Because I was kind of like, oh, it's cold.
Yeah.
Condensation on the windows. Yeah. I'm getting, you know, that vibe is not, it's not.
I went into the lounge last night and it was one of the rooms where we have the radiators on. I went in at about 8:30 after dinner and it was like a hug. Oh, it's lovely and warm in here. Yeah. It's great. And it's not too warm. It's just nice.
Yeah. You're making me warm now saying that.
Thank you.
Like a hug.
Men are always saying that to me.
Let's move on. Our first query. Now, it's quite a serious one. I've been living with my boyfriend for 2 years, but had to move back home quite suddenly recently. In the last 2 years, my mother has become a carer for my grandparents. So I had to move in with my grandparents at the age of 26. At the start, it was okay. They enjoyed the novelty of it. But now we're over the 6 months mark. We are killing each other. My boyfriend moved in with us originally, but went back to his parents' house because they are too much. I'm trying to save for a house or even just somewhere to rent, but there is only so much I can save in 6 months. Nothing I do is right. I can't even put my plates in the dishwasher properly. And I understand they're traditional and they're set in their ways, but I'm going to lose it. There is a fight about something stupid every single day and the house is so cramped with 4 grown adults. I'm at my wit's end. Do you have any advice for staying sane while I save? Declan, I'm going to start with you.
Okay, yeah. Well, part of the answer is actually in the question, in the letter, is that this person needs to recognise that they're in a position where it's a transitional phase. They're not there because they want to be, but they are in a space where there are other adults who are, you know, set in their ways. And from where I can, what I would advise them to do is to take each moment as it goes. It's a day-by-day scenario. Hold your mouth, because it's not worth having a row over something stupid. I understand that you might think that it's because your granny is saying, you're putting the things in the thing the wrong way, but you're also frustrated as well. The letter writer is frustrated because they're having to put their hopes and dreams on hold. And a lot of the reasons for that hold isn't down to their grandparents, you know? So put the blame where it belongs, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think for me, though, look, when there are... a lot of people in a small space, it's kind of natural that people, you know, literally bounce shoulders off each other. And from that perspective, I think that trying to not spend as much time there as possible is the only way I can see it. Because the grandparents are more likely by their age and their mobility to be stuck to the place. And they also probably, because of their longevity and because it's their home, have more of an ownership over it as well. So, you know, from that point of view, I think, you know,
recognize
that you are kind of in somebody else's space and you might find that a problem, but, you know, it's difficult because I think
you've been very measured. This letter actually made me really cross.
Why?
Because what Declan just said there, the last thing, is exactly the point. It is the grandparents' house. Mm. It is their home. And just because you're elderly or because you're frail doesn't mean you no longer are entitled to be in charge of your own space and to call the rules and to set the rules and to expect certain things because it's your house. I do wonder with this, I mean, I read it a few times and I was thinking, I'm not sure that the reason that the mother, this letter writer's mother and the letter writer moved in was entirely because they needed to look after the grandparents. Because that seems like quite a seismic decision to make when there are other supports.
Well, she said her mother's become a carer to them.
Yeah, but they've moved in. So what happened to the house that they were living in? Or, did something else happen that meant that, the solution would be let's move in with granny and granddad because then we can look after them and we'll have somewhere to live. I'm just putting that out there as another reason. Because I do wonder, again, the other question that came up when I was reading this is like, were the grandparents on board with this idea? Because to me, suddenly their daughter, not only is the daughter moving in, but so is the granddaughter and she's bringing her boyfriend. Like, who the hell thought that was a good idea?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I didn't consider that part. And that even does make me more annoyed at the person that wrote the letter.
Because I'm kind of going, why would you think that is a good
what
idea?
What's happening here?
Like, that's, that's nuts.
So are you saying shut up and put up?
I'm saying shut up and put up and stop fighting with them. There's a fight about, there's a fight about something every single day. Mm. Like, these are your grandparents. Yeah. They are entitled to your respect and to your gratitude if you are living, presumably rent-free. Because the other thing she keeps mentioning is, I need to save for a place to live or a place to rent. That's fine. But that's not anything to do with your grandparents. It's not their business. That's up to you to work that out. But you need to respect the fact that you're living in your grandparents' home. Their home, their rules. Yeah. So if they want the dishwashers loaded in a particular way, well, then you load it in the particular way and stop fighting with them. Like, that's terrible.
And JD Vance would say thank you as well. Say thank you. Please say thank you.
But to my mind, would it not be easier in a certain sense to live with your grandparents than live with your parents? Now, I know they're living with both of them, but your grandparents to me, and maybe I'm revealing too much, would be less annoying than living with your parents, I would have thought. Because we have a slightly different relationship with our grandparents than we do with our parents. And your grandparents are nearly more kind of novelty relationship or something than you have with your parents.
Well, that's possibly the key to how this thing all unfolded, that maybe that's what they thought. Mm. But I think that, your grandparents are still people. And I think, I agree with you. You have a different relationship with your grandchildren than you do with your children, she says, talking from a grandparent's perspective. Yeah. But that doesn't stop the fact that you are still an adult person in charge of yourself and you have your own home. And it, as Declan said, if the grandparents are frail and elderly, their home is terribly important to them. It's their security. Yeah. It's where they're spending probably practically all day, every day.
Yeah.
So this woman has to respect that, as does her mother. And the boyfriend shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Depending on their health as well. Their mood can be affected by their health too. Yeah. So there's a lot going on that sometimes, a little bit of awareness of the perspective of the other person at that particular stage of life. But just what you said, though, is this the grandparents' house that the mother was living in, and then the role meant that she became a carer, or did she move in to become a carer? And I'm confused as to the exact dynamic. But if it's the grandparents' house, I think that the rule is my house, my rules, as you say.
Absolutely.
But I mean, the takeaway is shut up or pull up or move out.
Yeah.
And we feel bad for you not being able to afford
with
a house.
The bit that annoyed me was, there's a fight about something stupid every day. Why are you fighting with your grandparents over the bloody dishwasher? Like, stop.
Yes, indeed. Okay, 087 1400 106. Most of the texts coming in are just saying move out.
Where?
So, less contentious animal ownership. My husband surprised me for my birthday with a dog. The kids had been asking for one, and while we had discussed that it would be too much for our family to handle, he went ahead and got a puppy anyway. To be honest, after nearly a year, I'm still annoyed by it. I essentially have another child to mind, and I'm the one looking after our dog while he's off commuting for work and the kids are at school. I work from home, and I think the idea that the idea was that the dog would keep me company, but I don't want company, I want peace. I'm stuck now looking after this dog, and I resent that my husband gets to be the fun parent making rash decisions, whereas I am the responsible one cleaning up after the mess always. Nobody else brings the dog for a walk or to the vet or buys the food. They all like the idea of having pet, but they don't want to do any of the work. I'm so fed up. Yes, Barbara.
Okay, I'm going to sound loud as if I got out the wrong side of the bed this morning. But honest to God, this woman's husband needs a slap, like a very big slap. Because animals are not, should never be given as gifts. And they are not entertainment. Mm. And they are not toys. They are animals. So for the husband to buy his wife a dog that she obviously didn't say, oh, I'd love to have a dog for my birthday, is ridiculous. And that really annoys me. And it's a very bad example to his children to say, oh, the dog is a present. No, a pet should never. It's a serious commitment when you take on an animal. And that's the first thing that's annoyed me. And as I say, it's a serious commitment. And if you have a pet, especially a dog, there is a lot of work that comes with that. Dogs can't be left on their own for endless hours. They do need to walk every day. So, you know, and I mean, I say that as somebody who lives with three and a half cats and a dog. And we've always had animals. And I know when the kids were smaller, they'd be like, oh, no, mom, we'll help you, you know. And they invariably didn't. And I invariably did most of the heavy lifting. But I wouldn't live without my animals. So I'm kind of okay with that. I think it's very good for children to grow up with animals. So what does this woman need to do? I think this woman needs to have a chat with her husband, first of all, to make sure he never, ever, ever thinks of doing this again, because this was a really, really bad idea. And what worries me about the letter is that the woman doesn't mention at all, or she doesn't give us any kind of impression of any affection that she might have for this dog. Like he's just a prawn. He's not a prawn. He's a pawn in this scenario. And I think the dog is the biggest loser, because if her attitude from the letter is how she really feels, well, then the poor dog isn't, he's not being loved. I mean, the kids might love him, but she doesn't love him. So I think they need to call a family meeting. She needs to talk to the husband first and tell him never, ever, ever, ever do it again. Really stupid thing to do. Then she needs to call a meeting with the kids. I don't know how old her kids are, but I think they can all take on a certain amount of responsibility with the dog. And I think that that is a very good thing to do. I mean, she mentions that nobody brings them to the vet or buys the food. Well, like, I mean, that's ridiculous. Buying your dog food probably comes with your grocery shopping. Yeah. It's not a big deal. And I mean, vets, okay, in the first year, there's vaccinations and that. But then after that, unless, you know, as long as your dog is reasonably healthy, you won't be going to the vet that often. So I don't, the biggest thing with a dog is not leaving it on its own and walking it and picking up its poo. And I think you need to get the kids involved in that. Yeah. Even if you have to go with them on the walks, if they're not old enough, but they should be walking and understanding the responsibility they have to animal husbandry. That's a great word.
When you said give him a slap, you were being euphemistic, of course. You meant a verbal slap, right?
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know. I'm not entirely sure.
Declan, are you on the same page?
I am. I think that pretty much sums it up. I think, you know, we're dealing with the theory of the issue. The husband made a stupid mistake, and that should be pointed out. But then the consequences are now the animal is now resident in the house. And that has ongoing issues because, like, in minding and caring for the animal, as you pointed out, that's such a big commitment. It's actually limiting this woman's freedom. So it's a very kind of, you know, it's kind of a bit dark what the husband did. It's kind of basically bought a pair of handcuffs and he kind of got her, you know, handcuffed to the house in some way because she can't just pop out and whatever. So I find that strange, and I find that should definitely be pointed out to him. I think it is, there's an education in there for the children, as you said. I think that's a really good point. And at the end of the day, if they don't like the animal, that's awful for them.
It's awful for the animal. It really is. And I mean, an animal, whether it's a, with the exception possibly of goldfish, we don't really consider to be pets, but a cat or a dog should be part of the family. Like, they are part of the family. So, you know, this really does annoy me. I feel sorry for this poor dog, like, who's just...
There's a text in actually saying, John, sounds like this is a lot more about than just a dog. She's obviously very pissed off.
With the husband, yeah.
Yeah, it does seem to me like the idea of, you know, it's not a new life, but it's an animal and everyone knows a dog's a big commitment. Suddenly bringing this thing home without any...
It sounds like the husband wanted to be the great dad. Look, the kids all wanted a dog. So now, or the thing, which, I mean, if you ask any of my kids, they'll say their childhood has resonated with this, because every so often, you know, I'd come under pressure. Oh, can we get another kitten or can we get a puppy? And my answer was always the same. It is a kitten or a puppy for 5 minutes. Yeah. What you're getting is a dog or a cat. Yeah. And that's where that's where the responsibility comes in. And there's huge benefits to having animals in your life. Huge benefits to me far outweigh the disadvantages.
Can this be fixed? She calls a family meeting, splashes cold water in all their faces.
Well, I mean, unless
you all need to look after this dog.
Yeah, I think unless she herself, and this is what we're not sure of from the letter, because I don't like the fact that she never said, there was no sentence that dog's actually very cute and, you know, he is lovely. There was none of there. I got no affection for the dog.
No.
And if you don't love the dog, and I'd hate to say go and rehome the dog, because there's far too many dogs in this country waiting to be rehomed anyway. But I hope she does.
I get the impression, and I could be really wrong, is that that's the last thing on the list. That, you know, caring and loving for the dog is the last thing. And she doesn't want to go there because she's so annoyed about the realities of it.
And
like having a dog to love and loving a dog is kind of, it's kind of just happens. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think that she's the kind of person who's like, I don't love animals. I think it's more that she's saying, you know, getting to be with an animal.
I worry that the reason that she's not come out and said, I actually don't like the dog and I don't want the dog and I want to get rid of the dog, is the fact that she would have to, the kids would go mental. I say the kids do love the dog. So I think she's now stuck with the dog. And I think she's going to have to, I mean, I don't know what size of a dog it is either, but she's going to have to suck it up. Now, I will say that, you know, if you have a dog and nobody's going to walk it and it doesn't it doesn't suit you because you're working or whatever, you know, if you have a bit of research around in your local area, you can find dog walkers who are great and who will come in and will take your dog for a walk and will give at least your dog a bit of entertainment, and it'll save you from doing it. But it's obviously going to cost you money, you know.
Yeah, I wonder, Declan, you were saying the last thing on the list. I wonder, are there more problems at hand here in terms of their dynamic? And
well, if you're in a relationship where people are doing unilateral actions that will impact you, where you're the one who has to literally pick up the pieces, that's not good.
No.
So that's her first argument.
Yeah, really. Texting it about the dog. Why doesn't she get the husband to book the dog and pay for doggy daycare for a number of days a week? Barbara, you were kind of intimate with the number of days to be agreed, or else talk about surrendering the dog. Much more pertinent question someone texts us in. How did Barbara end up with 3.5 cats?
I have 4 cats, right? But this is a very long story. Short version is
Short
I have
version.
4 cats. The eldest of these cats is a male cat. And when we adopted the second one, the third one down in the list, she has only 3 legs. And he took a ginner. I think he doesn't think she's a cat. And he moved out and he moved in with the family up the road, who are very nice. So he comes down to eat occasionally.
Oh,
so
I thought the half cat was
the one with
the
3
legs.
No, she'd be 2/3 of a cat.
Oh, yeah.
Or 3/4 of a cat. No, half cat.
That's very leg centric, though.
He kind of treats our house as a bit of an Airbnb and comes and goes.
So he's a visitor. That's the half.
Yeah, and he doesn't like me anymore.
Listen, time is flying and we've only done 2, but I really wanted to get to this one. Slightly lighter, but again, maybe there's more stuff.
Oh, we'll make it dark.
Yes. No, better people. Right. I've been dating my current boyfriend for about 6 months now and things have been going great. However, one small thing has arisen, which I'm increasingly struggling with. I have had a sizable beard for over 10 years. It's part of my identity. I love it and others admire it. My boyfriend recently decided to grow his beard out and it looks very similar to mine. He absolutely loves it, but I am getting increasingly freaked out by the fact that it makes us look so alike. And before you say it, I had my beard first. This person is wondering, are they right to be annoyed by this? Declan?
Short answer, no. But I understand what's happening here because you know, in a same-sex relationship, you're often in a situation where your options of presentation...
The clue is insane.
Yeah, same. It is there. Yeah, it is. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. But it's like, you know, if you're going to identify in a certain way, present yourself in a certain way, grow a beard. I mean, like, beards... It's a choice, yes. Not all men have beards, but most men can grow a beard and most men might, over the course of their life, have a beard. If your whole identity is wrapped up in your beard, that's a pretty shallow, unless you're Santa, that's pretty like shallow interpretation. And so you understand why you're maybe shook because you haven't realised how much...
Do men admire other men's
beards? Do you admire people's beards?
I hate beards.
Yeah,
they give me the itch.
Yeah.
So, like, but he says people admire his beard. I'm like, no, they don't.
I think, though, in a certain kind of beard, there's a certain kind of idea that it's a cool beard. I look like a hipster or, you know, whatever. Like, there is a fashion kind of trend around beards and facial hair, you know, that people might go, that's part of my identity. And I get all that. But it really does reduce down to the basic idea that, it is just like a thing you're putting on your body. You know, it is just a, it's not actually who you are. It's not you.
Yeah.
And I think often, you know, it's like myself and my husband getting ready. We often have to go back upstairs and change because we wore exactly the same colours. And you kind of go, we don't want to be walking around matchy-matchy, same-sex marriage all the time, you know.
I do that. One of my daughters and I regularly do that. You know, when
it is as literally simple as that. And it's, but you can make it a big thing and go, but my identity is navy, you know. Yeah. And it, no, it's not. No, it's
so
actually
Barbara
not.
Declan's saying this guy's, like, if this is his identity so tied up in a beard, like...
He's got problems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Are you on the same page?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I love the way he said that, before you say it, I had my beard first. Nobody cares who had the beard first. He hasn't copyrighted his beard, like, so that doesn't, that's irrelevant. Relevant. So yeah,
And just to play devil's advocate again, I mean, to Declan's point though, you know, if this guy's been known in his friend group as, oh, he had the mad Ronnie Drew beard, or
that's
whatever.
That's what I was just going
to
say. Sure.
And they're both showing up with two
beards. But sure, didn't the Dubliners all have beards?
They did. Yeah,
there you go.
I shouldn't have brought Ronnie.
They just
Drew
look like a
but it is. But it's also a thing, these things coming in and out of fashion, and also, you know, it's something. Not shaving all the time is just, you know, it's kind of practical for some people to grow a beard.
As long as things don't get stuck in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know the fellow with the long
bits of bacon and that yeah. in your beard.
That's his identity.
Can I leave you with one text? Myself and my ex-wife broke up over getting a dog. We had previously discussed the issue of getting it a dog and decided not to. And then she went and got one anyway. It told me that she just didn't care. Wow. That's a solitary lesson for us all. You know what? I've changed my mind. This is the greatest slot in Irish radio. I've been talking to.
It's a bit late now.
No, never too late to change.
Closing the door after
Declan Buckley. I can't even give out their names. No. They're shouting at me so much. Loads more to come. Stay tuned.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.